Blog Talk Radio.
Come on!
Yes, this is me behind the scenes, yelling and screaming.
I can hear you.
You can.
Yes, I can.
All right, let me call Howard. Actually, Howard's on the line now. All right.
I know. Because we're both, I can see it on the screen. He just called me.
Welcome to the Going Old School Show here. Chips Crow, Joe Foran, blogtalkradio.com. We had a couple of technical difficulties. Wednesday, September 14th of 2022. Opinions 101. We got a lot to talk about on the show. Football, 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 and more football. But let's bring in our weekly guest as he contributes here in the Going Old School Show. He's an NFL Hall of Fame selector, co-host of a weekly Hall of Fame show on Sirius XM NFL Radio, and he's a Cardinals NFL reporter for GoPHNX, short for Phoenix.com. He is the one and only Howard Balzer. Howard, how are you, sir? Thanks for the time today. Howard? Joe, are you there?
I'm still here.
Okay, JC's there. All right, JC. That's JC. I'm sorry. JC's going to be on hold. I'm going to call Howard now, guys. So this is radio. All right, so
radio,
we need to get Howard to call.
Howard to call him.
Yep. JC, hang in there. A little technical difficulties, but the show must go on. Hold on a second. Joe, talk amongst us. Tell me what's on your mind.
Yeah, hey, what's on my mind is, you know, looks like, you know, the Braves and Mets are coming down to the bitter end. Looks like that'll be a nice go-to, nice baseball watching at the end of the season. Looks like the Dodgers run away with their division, you know. The Yankees have kind of righted the ship a little bit. Football, what could happen, did happen, you know. We know it's football because, wait, the Atlanta Falcons blew a big lead in the fourth quarter. The Seattle Seahawks withstood a couple of drives close to the end zone from the Denver Broncos. They end up winning, so it's why they play the games. Dallas Cowboys are without their good old quarterback for 6 weeks, but, you know, just ask the public relations guy. Oh, I mean the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. They'll tell you it all. You know, there's no secrets on that team.
Okay. All right, let's go. We're giving Howard a jingle.
Hey, hello.
Hi, Howard. How are you, sir?
Pretty good, man. How you doing?
Good. Sorry about technical difficulty, but thanks for joining the show. So we're going to go live here. Coming down in 3, 2, and 1. Welcome to the Going Old School Show, blogtalkradio.com. Thanks for putting up with us for a couple of technical difficulties. That's live radio at its finest. But a lot of football to talk about today, and what better way to start our show off as we do each and every Wednesday with an NFL Hall of Fame selector, co-host of a weekly Hall of Fame show on Sirius XM NFL Radio. And his new venture, so to speak, Cardinals NFL reporter for GoPHNX.com, short for Phoenix, which I am a subscriber to. It's great read. Let's bring him in, the one and only Howard Balzer. Howard, John and Joe here for you today. How are you, sir? Thanks for your time.
Always glad to be with you guys, John and Joe. Can I just call you JJ, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
That would fit with JJ Watt, who, of course, didn't play for the Cardinals. This last week, and now
bit.
Is
go ahead, Todd.
Okay.
So we're going to get to JJ Watt a little bit because you're right there in Arizona, so we're going to get things started. But I've been paying attention to some of your stuff on GoPHNX.com, and I want to talk about something you spoke about, or you wrote about, you scribed about the other day, the knee-jerk mentality we have as football fans and as football media. And it's crazy. It's almost like a cult-like feeling in the NFL world as you live. And so I'm going to point out a couple of reactionary things to you just pertaining to week one and what I saw. So you tell me if I'm crazy or not. So after week one, it's obvious that the Seattle Seahawks are going to win the NFC West. It's also obvious to me, Howard, that the Bengals, Titans, and Packers are not going to make the playoffs, and head coach Sean McVay of the Rams' job should be in jeopardy after the week one loss to Buffalo. Am I overreacting, sir? Your thoughts?
I think you're 5 for 5 there. But no, I mean, that's, you know, that's it's always intrigued me with the NFL, and certainly more so in other sports, and so much of it is because it's not a daily league. You have one game a week, and I've always said that after week one in the NFL, just basically going along with what you said, is 16 fan bases think their team's going to the Super Bowl, and the other 16 that lost think they won't win another game. And it's kind of just the mentality of many that are involved in the game. And so it's and especially because, like I said, it's one game a week, and everybody you can't wait for the game, And then it gets there. And I also have a little term that I call collective amnesia. And that to me is what everybody says when they're sane and logical going into a game and saying, well, we're going to have a problem with this. And of course I was writing about the Cardinals but man, it's going to be tough with all the injuries this team has, especially in the secondary at cornerback going against Patrick Mahomes and this and that. Man, he'll probably put 40 on the board. And then when he does, everybody acts shocked. Oh, my God, I can't believe it, how bad this team is. Because Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs put 40 on the board, and the Cardinals struggled, and a lot of it was because of injuries. So you have that collective amnesia. You forgot everything you said before the game and just get emotional watching the game, because as you're watching, you're getting, I can't believe this. And you're just getting pissed off and upset with, you know, fans. I don't know that media gets as upset, but they're still think a lot of the same things that the fans are. And so you have to take a step back, put a little logic behind it. But I understand it though, to a degree, because that's the emotion of the sport that drives it on a weekly basis, that drives the numbers they get watching it. And that's a big part of its success. And heck, you know, you lose by four touchdowns in the NFL, and it's like the end of the world. Go out in the day in baseball in the middle of July and lose 10-1, and no one thinks anything of it, unless you're already a bad team. But if you're a good team, okay, 10-1, bad day, we'll get them tomorrow. Well, there's no getting them tomorrow in the NFL. You have to wait most of the time another week to play again, and then you have all those days to hash out the previous game. In the other sports, the bad game the day before is forgotten almost immediately, but not in the National Football League.
So, Howard, last week you had spoken to us about all the injuries, and you couldn't believe the amount of injuries on Arizona going into the first week. Now you come to a Wednesday in the second week, and you've got seven players who did not practice on Wednesday, did not participate. So has the injury report gotten any better, or does it seem to be going backwards in Arizona?
That we don't know if they're backwards is because we're not sure. Well, just one of them is Jalen Thompson, one of the more underrated safeties in the NFL, and he didn't practice today because of a toe injury. And, of course, we're not told how serious it is, but we know that toes can be problematical. And so if he wasn't able to play, then that's going to make their secondary even more banged up. They did get back today Trayvon Mullen, who the Cardinals acquired in a trade with the Raiders, and I'm sure he would love to play in this game. But he's still bothered by a toe injury that limited him to only five games last season, and he had surgery in May. And so Cliff Kingsbury did admit that, well, we're just trying to get him out there, get him to do a few things, but he's not real confident he's going to be able to play. And guys, they went into this game. You talk about going into a gunfight with Patrick Mahomes without any bullets in your chamber. Well, the Cardinals had no third. They didn't even have a cornerback to be able to play nickel defense. They didn't even have a cornerback because of injuries. And they were playing linebackers, covering receivers. And that's a recipe for disaster. And obviously Patrick Mahomes will carve up, you know, just about anybody. But when you have that situation on defense, it's almost impossible. You can throw out schemes, you can put out different coverages and all those things, but it's still in the NFL, most of the time, comes down to your personnel. And they just match up with Patrick Mahomes. They obviously needed to score in the 40s to even be in the game. And the offense was a bit off. Here's the interesting thing. You mentioned, Joe, the seven guys that didn't practice. Here's the amazing thing. Last Friday, Cliff Kingsbury, and I love coaches when they talk about a collective talk about amnesia. Friday, he said, this was our best practice of camp. You could sense the urgency and the focus. And then on Monday, the day after the game, he says, it just looked like these guys didn't know what Kansas City was going to come at us with. And they just didn't have the urgency and the focus. And you have to have that in practice. And we have to be better in practice. So we're all going, well, what is it? What is it? And then today, as he emphasizes doing well in practice, and they two of their starting offensive linemen, they give a rest day to. Right tackle Kelvin Beachum and center Rodney Hudson, who's hardly practiced all summer. And so how do you, at the beginning of the season, week two, why are you giving rest days when you think the practice is so important? And then one of the guys who we all thought was going to play last week, left guard Justin Pugh, he was limited. We knew he had an injury, but he was limited. So you figure he was going to play. All of a sudden, he's not able to. And the guy that they signed late in training camp because Pugh was banged up, Cody Ford from the Buffalo Bills, guess what? He gets hurt in practice last week on Thursday and is on injury reserve. So they had to play their third string left guard. And so Justin Pugh was limited again in practice today. And it was said that Kingsbury, you know, he said he's getting better, but I'm not sure he's going to be able to go on Sunday. So there you go with a team that is, you know, experiencing these things all throughout the roster. And yet, like I said, everybody acts shocked and surprised when they go out and don't play well.
Howard Balzer, Hall of Fame, would like to join us on the Old School Show with J&J. And speaking of J&J, where you reference him at the onset, young defense, Howard, I mean, how important, not even only his level of play, just experience-wise, to have J.J. back on that front line for the season?
No, it's tremendously important because it is a very young defense. And J.J. Watt looks like, I mean, he was seen this morning leaving and going inside the building after a walkthrough. And when we were able to come out and see stretching and then the drills, and we've seen going inside the building. So he's been with the Cardinals now since the beginning of last season. And in 18 regular season games, he's played only 7. And if you go back to, like, back to 2016, I believe the total, he's played like 55, I think the number is, of 98 games with the Texans and the Cardinals. And a big reason they signed J.J. Watt, as you noted, was for leadership. Well, you know, you can't be a leader when you're in the training room. And so, you know, last year he had a hamstring that cost him all a training camp. Then he was working himself at the football shape during the regular season and was starting to come on and play pretty well. Cardinals were 7-0, and then he shredded his shoulder in week 8. It was in week 7 in the game they won, and then he was lost, you know, for the rest of the season after that, tried to come back and play in the playoff game, but he wasn't very effective. And now he starts off this season with another soft tissue injury, with a calf injury. And so you're going, is this guy ever going to be able to play and make anywhere close to the impact that they expected when they signed him? And like you said, that's a big loss. I mean, they lost Chandler Jones left, who they're going to face this week with the Raiders. And he was not only a hell of a player, and you guys know him from his years with the Patriots, mm-hmm. but he was also a leader. He was also a leader in the locker room. Well, he's gone. And so there's a leadership void on defense with a very young team, but there's also a talent void at a certain number of positions. And it's going to be interesting to see how they bounce back, if they can, in this game against the Raiders. This was a team that was very good on the road last year, lost its last 5 games in a row at home. Now they've lost 6 in a row at home, but they were very good on the road. So that's kind of what everybody is crossing their fingers about. But once again, I go back to, are they healthy enough to be able to hold up against the Raiders, who have some injury issues of their own? So this is really going to be two teams in the desert who are fighting attrition already in week 2 of this season.
Speaking of the Raiders, I mean, they seem to be the early 7.5-point favorite, Arizona being the dogs. Do you see that being accurate of what of being 7.5-point underdogs with the talent that Arizona has? I know they're injured, but still, Oakland, different coach, different players, free agents. same result, loss. So do you think that 7.5 points is justified going into that game coming Sunday?
It seems a little high, and it's gone up, you know, pretty appreciably since Sunday. I believe the game opened around 4.5 or 5, and then it's been moving up, 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 and up. And I'm sure a lot of that is because of the way the Cardinals played, and that the Raiders, even though they lost to the Chargers, at least they hung tough in that game. But that team's offensive line, I mean, you look at that game, and they were trailing 17-3 at halftime, and then, you know, kept battling and fought back, got within 5 points, actually stopped the Chargers on a 3-and-out, and then had the ball at their own 40-yard line, where if they, you know, could get down the field, they could, you know, score a go-ahead touchdown. And on third and fourth down, Derek Carr was sacked. So they have some issues in the offensive line. Their center, Andre James, is on the injury report with a concussion. And so I think that, you know, when you look at the injury report, the Cardinals have numbers, but the Raiders have some injuries that, you know, might be just as important. And especially with an offensive line that isn't that good to begin with, now could be without their starting center. And so it'll be very interesting. It'll be very interesting to see how this matchup plays out and on Sunday in, you know, in Las Vegas.
You can catch his work at GoPHNX, GoPhoenix.com. He's Cardinals NFL reporter for them, doing some really good stuff. And you mentioned the Raiders. Obviously, it's not a must game. It's only week two, Howard. But with the Rams looming in week three and with all the continuity not there with the coaching staff all the way down, how important is this game? Obviously, you want to win, but they need to show signs of some semblance of continuity and some awareness and maybe just some really good play. And how important is that? What do you need to see from this team going into this game with the Raiders on Sunday just to see moving forward if they can get better?
No, I think it's a great question. And I think certainly what the prevailing thought was after the game against the Chiefs was that, okay, might not have been expecting a win, but didn't expect to lose the way they did. And the game started out looking like the end of last season, especially that playoff game where they fell behind quickly to the Rams and the game was pretty much over. Well, that happened on Sunday. They were down 14-0, but then they responded with a touchdown and had a nice drive. And so it looked like, okay, maybe they're responding and they're going to hang in there. And then the Chiefs went through them like Swiss cheese once again, moving down the field for another touchdown to make it 20-7. Got a late field goal, 23-7. Cardinals have the ball to start the second half. And the thought is, okay, the offense was starting to move it a bit. This would be a time, hey, move down the field and score and make it a game. They couldn't. Chiefs score again. And before you know it, it's 37-7 after the third quarter. And so that's, like I said, the prevailing thought is to lose the way they did, you know, more than just losing. So I think what at least fans are looking for and what everyone is looking for is at least a competitive team, a team that goes out there and fights and gets off to a better start and that the offense is much more consistent. I mean, I saw somewhere where someone said, well, you know, Kyler Murray wasn't bad in this game. You know, he completed this number of passes and his passer rating was 99. And I'm going, well, those people must not have watched the first three quarters because he just padded his numbers in the fourth quarter and had a couple of touchdown passes, which got that passer rating up. For most of the game, his passer rating was in the 50, you know, between 60 and 70. It wasn't, and that's without an interception. You know, that's hard to have a passer rating that low when you don't have an interception because interceptions kill player quarterbacks' passer rating. And he didn't have one. So he was having it because he wasn't completing passes for many yards and wasn't getting much done. So that'll be the real key here. I don't know that anybody's expecting too much from the defense, but they at least expect to get a competent effort from the offense where they show that they can put some points on the board because, like I said, they had 7 at the end of three quarters on Sunday, and obviously that's not going to cut it with an offense where you just paid your quarterback, you just paid your left tackle, DJ Humphreys. You know, you're paying guys, and you expect a lot more than that.
Well, speaking of the offense, Howard, again, Kyler Murray had mentioned that he considers his wide receiver in a league, and he needs to get him more involved in the offense. He said Brown needs to at least get 10 catches and he needs to personally get him more involved. But you can't really force it, though, because if you start forcing it, then you start overlooking
right.
Zach and the rest of the guys. So you think he –
well, that
do you think the Brown an elite wide receiver yet?
Well, I think they have it. The elite wide receiver they have is on the suspended list, and DeAndre Hopkins. So you can't overlook that aspect of all this, because it's pretty incredible to think what it would be if you had both Marquise Brown and DeAndre Hopkins out there. But they don't. And so, yes, you do have to – and when Murray was talking today, he was talking about other quarterback or other receivers with 10 receptions and all that and a whole bunch of targets, and they just didn't even have many targets for Brown. But the reality, as you point out, is that after him, they have A.J. Green, who they're counting on to be better than he was last year. He didn't make an impact. Greg Dortch is a nice little player as your third or fourth guy, but it doesn't go deeper than that. And then Zach Ertz was one of the guys who was injured. And he was on, he admitted after the game, he was on a pitch count where he was only supposed to play around 30 snaps, and he played 39. And so having him not full on hurt the offense also, because he became Murray's security blanket last year when Hopkins was hurt at different times and they weren't getting, you know, a lot of stuff from some of their other receivers. Now, they claim today that Ertz did not practice today. They're saying he will be out tomorrow, and he looks totally ready to go. So that could be huge in this game, because if you have him, then, you know, that can open up some things for those, you know, for those other guys. And once again, hey, in this league, I'm old school, guys. I always believe you have to be able to run the ball consistently. And I thought last week that would be something they would try to do more against the Chiefs. Keep the ball out of Mahomes' hand, run it more. But, you know, James Conner only had, I think he had 9 carries for 26 yards. And so the ground game wasn't there. And so there's just a lot of areas where they came up short that they have to get better at and get better fast. Because you pointed it out, you fall to 0-2 in this league with the Rams coming in the following week. And that's a very tough spot to be in.
Howard Ball is joining us, Hall of Fame selector, Cardinals NFL reporter for GoPhoenix.com. Howard, I got to ask you about this because New England here, you want to talk about New York Central is maybe the epicenter, at least of the Northeast, right here where we're doing the podcast from. So having said that, you know, going back to the preseason, two guys in Joe Judge and Matt Patricia who are competing for the offensive coordinator spot, who had never coached offense before. So everyone here was scratching their heads to the point where, and I'm paraphrasing now, Mac Jones and some of the press conferences were saying, talking about how the coaches are adjusting to the game plan. And we were going, what in the bleep is going on with this team? I need your thoughts on it because you have been around football for a long time. Have you ever seen anything like this? And I can't help but this is not going to rear its ugly head sooner than later, sir.
It sure seems that it could be trending that way. I am one, especially with the Patriots, that usually said, let it play out and let's see what happens, because they are a team very often that gets better as the season goes on. And so that's no guarantee this will happen, but you kind of believe that, well, I don't know if believe is the right word. There's the hope that it will, but like you said, it might not. And so that's obviously the concern there. And the thing you wonder about too is, you know, Belichick. I'm sure Bill Belichick is spending more time with the offense, and I think he always spent more time with the offense than people realized, but he might have to do it even more now. And so then, does that affect the defense in any way? We have to wait and see. Everyone says it's a long season, but it sounds like it always sounds and feels like it's a long season, but it's really not, because granted, if you get into a bad stretch early, it's possible to come back from it, but it's awfully hard. It's hard to have losing streaks in the NFL and rebound from it, because there's just not that many games to do it. I mean, I always remember this just from being from St. Louis. The Cardinals one year had 3 losing streaks of 7 games or more, but they still ended up being in the playoffs. Now, the division wasn't very good, and they only won 83 games, but they were still in the postseason. In the NFL, that's probably, you know, you can't lose 4 games in a row. You just can't. Once in a while, a team will come back from it, but it's very, very difficult to do. And I've always looked at it this way, guys. Let's just say you start the season 0-4. Well, it's going to take you a whole month of winning four games just to get back to 500. And so that's difficult to do. And so I think there has to be a little bit of patience, but if it continues, there's going to be a whole lot of questioning of why Belichick allowed this to be the case this year and didn't come up with someone more competent or more experienced, I should say, as an offensive coordinator. And so, we'll see. I'm trying to remember. This might be a good question for you guys. When Josh McDaniels left, when he went to Denver as the head coach, what did they – do you guys remember what they did then with the offense? And I know Tom Brady obviously was still there, so you had that security blanket. But I'm trying to remember what they did. Was it Bill O'Brien?
I believe it was, yes. Bill O'Brien, a couple more, but they got patchwork at it. Yeah.
Yeah, so – but this one here, like you asked me if I've ever seen this. No, never seen it where you take a guy who's been mostly been defenses virtually his whole career and another guy who had some offensive involvement with tight ends but mostly with special teams and make them the guys who are, in a sense, overseeing what the offense does. And, by the way, from what I understand, they changed the blocking schemes on offense with the offensive line. So there's a lot of new things to adjust to. And the off season and training camp anymore, most of the time, is not enough time to really get it right. And you don't start really realizing what you have until the games begin. And then you just hope you tread water for a little bit. And when it starts to get better, that you're not, that you haven't drowned. So I think that's the concern there, obviously.
Howard, my final question is a two-part about the Cowboys, because I know you don't cover them, but your opinion on who the Cowboys could get to cover for Dak while he's hurt, and two, how bad is it that an owner comments on what the injury report is on your quarterback when you kind of want to keep tight-lipped, but it seems like the owner can't keep tight-lipped on injuries on his own team.
Well, Jerry Jones can't be tight-lipped about anything. And I've always believed that the Dallas Cowboys culture that really has been there for the last, what are we going to say now? Almost three decades.
Yes.
Since they last won the last Super Bowl. After Jimmy Johnson left, the culture has all been about that Jerry Jones is the face of the franchise. And I've never believed that that's a positive thing. I mean, he does interviews, he has radio shows, and everybody on that team and roster knows that he's the guy. He wields all the power. It's not the head coach. It's not this guy. It's not that guy. And I don't think that's a healthy way to build a football team. And so, yeah, here's my theory on it. My theory is when he came out and said, well, everybody's saying first 4 to 6 weeks and 6 to 8 and the whole bit. Then all of a sudden he's saying, well, it might only be 4 and it might be less than that. I believe he said that. I don't have any proof. But I believe he put that out there so people could say, well, okay, if he can be back in 4 weeks, then we don't have to go and get another quarterback. And so all that talk of getting someone else would stop. If you knew it was going to be 8 weeks, you're thinking to yourself, oh, they better get somebody, because by 8 weeks with Cooper Rush or whoever, it's not going to be pretty. And so I think that's why he did it. But that's Jerry Jones. That's just the way he is. And in terms of getting someone else, I mean, there was a big rumor on Monday that they were possibly interested in Cam Newton. And that's why I think Jerry Jones came out with the statement that he said. Certainly you can make a phone call for Jimmy Garoppolo, but the reality is this: Prescott will be back in terms of the overall picture of your team. He will be back at some point. Of course, the other thing is, I'll say, even if that injury is healed in 4 weeks, that doesn't mean that he can then suddenly go out there and be slinging it around like normal when the injury was on his throwing finger. And so that's just unrealistic. But I think Jerry Jones often deals in unreality. But the point I was going to make is to bring in someone new who now has to learn the offense, learn his teammates, in short weeks where you're preparing for games, that's, I'm not never going to say it's impossible, but it's very difficult. And I don't know how successful it will be. Sometimes it's just best to stick with the guy you got and hope that it works out. And let's remember this, okay? Dak Prescott took over as a rookie, right? I think I'm pretty right on that. As a rookie fourth-round pick when Tony Romo was hurt and played lights out. And he basically stole the job at that. And Tony Romo figured, oh, well, I might as well just walk away. So who knows? You know, maybe Cooper Rush can be the answer. But and I'm not saying he will be, but it might be your best strategy when at least you have a guy who's been there. He knows everybody. He knows his playing teams. He knows the offense. And you go with it that way. But they better be able to run the ball. And that will probably come down to a big thing that they'll have to be able to do, and their defense has to play at the top of its game. So we'll see how it plays out there. But I think it's dangerous a lot of times, like I said, to think that someone from the outside, once the season has started, is going to, you know, wave a magic wand and suddenly play at a high level. I'm not going to say that it can happen, but it's very difficult for that to occur.
Howard, final question for me. It has to do with baseball, and it has to do with St. Louis and the St. Louis Cardinals. And one of the better stories, and my favorite story now in baseball, maybe in all sports right now, is Albert Pujols and what he's doing and coming back home to St. Louis, where I'm sure they adored him. Tell me about what you thought of him, your interactions, and just what an incredible career he's had. And now he's back home with a team that's going to the playoffs and doing good things in Albert Pujols.
It's an unbelievable, incredible story. I was at an event. He had a restaurant in St. Louis in conjunction. Well, obviously, these athletes, when they have restaurants, I mean, you know, they just invest their name in it pretty much and all that, and then other people run it. But there was a restaurant called Pujols 5 in St. Louis. And after the 2011 season, when they won the World Series, they had a statue commissioned. And I was at the event where they unveiled this statue right outside this restaurant in a little shopping, you know, little shopping restaurant plaza not far from where I live. And Albert was there, and it was a great event. And then like 2 months later, he left for the Angels. And they're going, what are we going to do with this statue now? And it was, the city was crushed. I mean, it was just awful. But now to have him back and to do what he's doing, it's almost unexplainable. I went to, guys, 3 weeks, it was sometime in August. I think it was August 19th that weekend, 20th, whatever it was. I went to a game with two of my sons who live here in Phoenix when the Cardinals played the Arizona Diamondbacks. And through my connections with the Cardinals, we ended up getting seats, you know, two rows right to the left of the dugout, two rows behind the camera well where everybody's sitting with their cameras and photographers and all that. And he gets up there, first pitch, hits a home run. And so I was able to get a couple of great pictures, and my son was able to get a video as he crossed home plate. With the video, he actually had a picture of the whole thing. Then he hit a home run in his second at bat. And his third at bat, he hit it off the wall. And that was funny because he hit it off the wall in left center, and he only got a single, which wasn't surprising. But the whole story is just incredible. And who knows? I mean, if they can take it all the way, it would be amazing. But here's the biggest irony, guys. St. Louis, unlike you guys in Boston area, St. Louis has been a dyed-and-true National League team for decades, and they hate the DH. No, we never want the DH. If they ever do that, it'll ruin baseball. You just can't have a universal DH, blah, blah. Well, guess what? This would not be happening if the National League didn't have the DH.
Good point.
And it's just an amazing, amazing story. And now we've got, what, about 20 or so games left, and he needs three home runs to reach 700. I can't imagine, assuming he reaches it, but he reaches 699, what's that going to be like after that? Because,
oh,
man, then
God,
you're going up to the plate every game and every at-bat when you're in the lineup, and he usually only plays against left-handed pitchers. But man, I can't even imagine your thought process when you go to, I just need one, and it changes your whole thought process. So that'll be interesting wouldn't it be something if he just got stuck on 699? No matter what happens, it's just that, like you said, it's an amazing story for baseball and for the Cardinals, the way, especially in this second half of the season when he's caught fire and the team has too.
He's a co-host of a weekly Hall of Fame show on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Cardinals NFL reporter for GoPhoenix.com, and obviously an NFL Hall of Fame selector. And Howard, we thank you very much for your time. Look forward to speaking with you next week. Take care, stay well, and be safe, my friend.
Same to you guys. Enjoy coming on with you. Take care.
Thank you.
Have a good week, Howard.
You guys too.
And that's the one and only Howard Balzer, and I love it because we're talking a little baseball with a guy who's been multiple decades in the sport of football. Doesn't get any better than that. Like Howard Balzer, Joe, like a fine wine, he is going to get better every little week. You roll that wine around your tongue, and it tastes like a good port wine. It is good, good stuff, and we thank Howard Balzer. And by the way, I'm locked into GoPhoenix.com. It's a lot of Arizona stuff, but just for Howard's sake, I got it for like $60 for the year. It's a steal. If you like Balzer, because he ties the Arizona stuff in with the NFL stuff, like he did stuff here, and kind of just has a little thought process. I can't remember what he calls it, but he kind of goes randomly, like you know, John Crow's A View from the Crow's Nest. And speaking of JC, Joe, go ahead.
We rebounded well. Rough start, but going well now.
Hey, technical difficulties will happen. Well, we got Howard on, as we will each and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on the Going Old School show, Opinions 101. But let's bring in our beloved co-host, Mr. Jay Crow. John Crow, how are you, buddy?
What's up, boys? I can't believe Howard Balzer just jinxed Albert Pujols.
Well, I'm sure he would say, I'm not sure, but I don't think he has that much power. But always a pleasure, and I love when he kind of dropped the old school reference in. That guy gets what it's like on radio, be it terrestrial or online. More importantly, JC, thanks for chiming in. How you feeling, brother?
Hey, you know, we're taking it day by day, and for everyone who thinks COVID is gone and out the window, I've been dealing with it for now. This is day 8, second time I've had it. And, man, this variant that's out there now, it is no joke, my friends. So, stay safe.
There you go.
Two and a half
you heard it from the...
We're still talking about it.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I totally agree with you. If you know friends around who have it, you know, it's easy to kind of forget about it. Go put it on the back burner. It's real not that important. Vaccines, whatnot. But if it's still out there, it can be a menace. And, JC, kudos to you. Continue to get better, and you're living proof right now of all our listeners to say, hey, man, you know, just think about what you're doing. Just take a second to think about what you're doing every day if you have to, because it's going to mean a month. It's cliche. You can save a life, man, and maybe more. But anyway.
Yeah,
JC, thank
there's
you.
No question. I had a follow-up with my doctor yesterday, and, you know, a conversation was, you know, I'm double vaxxed, double boosted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I wasn't, then I'm probably not talking to you right now. So, I mean,
yep.
that's just pure facts on what it is. And I know people have their opinions left and right, and they're more than welcome to it. But, you know, it's the science is the science.
You exactly.
Know? My wife had it first. She gave it to me. Thankfully, the kids did not get it. And so, you know, we move forward and hopefully on to bigger and better things. But great job with Mr. Balzer.
Thanks, man. Just kind of scrambled last minute, but we got him on. That's all that matters. Go ahead, Joe.
No, as I said, thank you. He said you did a good job. I said thank you. It's like it was a scramble. It was a mad dash, but we got there.
That's part of the deal arena. Hey, a little program, you know, and I want you guys to, I don't know if you know about this, but my chiropractor, Dr. Roger Lincoln from New Hope Chiropractic, it's over here in Pawtucket, East Providence area, he said some interesting things. He watched a Mac Jones hit. And he had some interesting comments to me in the doctor's office. I got him to come on today because he has a couple of opinions as to the back spasm part of it all and what Mac Jones may be facing moving forward with his back issues, which can be ongoing, as we all know, as we get older. And I've had him. But he's got some interesting things to say, and he's going to come on for about 10 minutes at the top of the hour. I hope you guys will indulge me because I think you might want to listen to what he has to say. It's his opinion, but he's forgotten more about that profession than I will ever know. So Dr. Roger Lincoln will chime in about probably all 15 minutes or so. But JC and Joe, Let's talk about those Patriots, shall we? And let's go on the stuff from today. This is a developing situation. The game notwithstanding, JC, I want to start with you. And Bill, I want you to, the Kendrick Bourne situation, right? A doghouse. Now we're hearing through Tom Curran, NBCSportsBoston.com, that Mr. Kraft is chiming in and maybe telling Bill, you might want to see that guy I'm spending all the money on the field a little bit more. But let's talk about the Patriots, JC.
Yeah, I mean, the troublesome thing that I, you know, I find from this whole scenario, and we brought this up about 3 months ago, is this all stems from, reportedly, that Kendrick Bourne and Matt Patricia have a beef with one another because Bourne knows the San Francisco Shanahan offense better than Matt Patricia does, and he spoke up about it. Bill Belichick is indulging things on the field because of this pettiness and giving Matt Patricia this amount of power. We said it 3 months ago. Belichick wants Patricia to be the next head coach in Foxborough, and it's a bad thing for all Patriots fans because the dude doesn't know what he's doing. And if you listen to Dan Orlovsky from ESPN, break down the offense. It's not even a high school offense. It's running the same play over and over and over, not giving the defense anything to fear. I mean, what did you guys see on Sunday?
I seen a team that, to be honest with you, quite honestly, sucked. And the score didn't even dictate what the game was about because it felt like back in from 2010 when we were playing the Dolphins where, yeah, the score may say they were in the game, but no, they're not in the game at all. It's not even close. And we weren't going to win that game. We were going to get close. And it's like, I just want something different. It's like, you know, we all hated McDaniels for the third down draws, but wait. So we have second down and 17, and we're going to run a running play here. There we go. And, you know, we're going to run the same bloody plays over and over and over again. So it's like, you're not even letting them call out of the, you know, change the plays to the line of scrimmage. And even if he does, what's he changing it to? Oh, wait, a basic running play instead of a basic passing play. Okay, so that nothing that, like you said, JC, nothing that the defense will get scared of. And it's like, and Bill's getting pretty snappy and feisty because Albert Breer asked him a question and he kind of got snappy with him. I'm like, really? It's like, so you're going to be almighty God and think it's, these are the 2000s? No, times have changed. You're rebuilding, face it, and you're going to get asked these questions by beat writers all day long, and you better have some answers because it just doesn't work of being brash like you used to because, oh, wait, you're going to have maybe 6-7 wins this year.
Well, obviously that's not the thing you want to get. I mean, I saw some good things from the offense. I think should have run the ball, pardon me, while I get rid of this stuff. You gotta run the ball a little more, mix it up, because the team can have a great drive, and then, granted, there's an interception, guys, but they just seem to lose a little focus, and that's a red flag to me. I mean, if it's a quarterback, who knows? If it's the coaching, who knows? I still think it comes down to this team not trusting the coaching, and when you look at the Kendrick Bourne situation, granted, Bill has his doghouse, but when you hear your quarterback, your franchise guy, come out and say, is KB and him are right on the same page, and that guy gets a couple plays at the end of the game, tells me one thing. He should have been on the field more. I'm not sure if it would have made a lot of difference. Maybe so. I mean, you could look at the Malcolm Butler situation and say Kendrick Bourne on the field, they would have won the game. Who knows? Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl is what I'm saying. But if he's your quarterback's guy, he's got to be on the field. And coming out of that game, I can't think – any other scenario about him, Mac Jones looks a little differently at his head coach right now, notwithstanding his offensive coordinator, Matt Patricia, because something's flux there. Patricia Bourne, Patricia Parker, who the hell knows, but we're seeing this thing carry over, and it's not good. Put your guys on the field that you're going to be best suited to win the game with. Isn't that what he always said? I put my players in the best position to win. It hasn't happened in over a year now. And there's a little bit disconcerting to me as a Patriot fan, if you will, guys. JC.
Yeah, there's no question. And, you know, in that whole in Bill we trust and always having that decision for the betterment of the team, you know, no longer is there because the actions speak louder than the words. He hasn't done that. He hasn't drafted as well as he could over the past 5 years. He hasn't brought coaches who can bring his players to that next level in the past 3 years. I mean, all you have to do is look at if you really wanted Mac Jones to develop in year two, mm-hmm. there are plenty of offensive coordinators you could have gotten. Forget your relationship with Nick Saban. Bill O'Brien wanted to come back and would have come back, but you said no because you didn't want to tick off Nick Saban.
Right.
Adam Gase would have taken the job. There are plenty of guys that would have taken the job and have more expertise than Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, but one, they're cheap. They're getting paid by other teams, so they love that. Bill likes to keep his money. And two, they're friends. He doesn't have to deal with any of this system stuff. You can say, hey, you're going to do it because I say so, and, you know, they're going to be yes men about it. The problem is, and you pointed it out, Chips, you know, Kendrick Bourne, after not playing the first three quarters, boom, gets on the field, 41-yard pass,
yep.
because Mac Jones has familiarity with him. He has a rapport with him. Devontae Parker, when he's brought in, has to get more targets than he has. I mean, look what the Raiders did. Devontae Adams comes in. Guess what? Feed the man. 17 targets. That's
yep.
what you do if you bring in a guy as a number one, and that's what Parker was supposedly brought in here to be, but you didn't act like he was a number one. Yes, you threw that 50-50 ball up there. Howard made a great play. Hey, things happen. They look good on the first drive, but just like the Celtics last year, instant negativity, boom, they waffled. They didn't know how to deal with adversity. That's because they don't have any place to turn to. I mean, when I hear, and I don't know if you heard this on the broadcast, when Patricia is going back and forth on his headset between conversations and not sitting with his quarterback,
mm-hmm.
that's a red flag to me. When you're leaving that to Brian Hoyer to sit with Mac Jones, and then Matt Patricia is going back and forth on his headset with offensive line guys, and then chiming in with Joe Judge with Mac, you know, Mac Jones, that's not good. Because as we've seen on that strip sack, total lack of communication on the offensive line. Well, whose fault is that? I believe Matt Patricia is the offensive line coach to this team, isn't he?
Exactly.
So where do you go with that? Is you failed your quarterback, you failed your offensive line, you've proven that you can't do either in 1 week. And, hey, I understand it's 1 week. But the other side of it, it's not 1 week. This is 1 week plus preseason, plus training camp, plus OTAs, where we've heard over and over day after day that this team can't get its system together. If I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm like, whoo, thank God we blocked a kick on Sunday. Got out of Cincy with a win because here comes 2-0 because we fear nothing about the New England Patriots this Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Especially seeing it's a left tackle that the left side of the football that like let the guy in. Nothing like hitting your quarterback from the blind side, which is supposed to be the side that you're supposed to be strong at. It's totally uncharacteristic of the way the Patriots run offense this year, and it's like you can't be talking to a million different people, two different people. You should be sitting down, going over the plays, going over that the playbook, going over everything, looking at the film and say, okay, this is what we need to do, this is what happened. No, you're too worried about trying to straighten out your offensive line that couldn't block anybody, and so you can't be two places at once, and it's going to cost you in the long run, especially with a second-year quarterback who should be taking some steps forward, not taking steps backwards.
Guys, we talked to Howard about, you know, it's a big week for the Arizona Cardinals to win based on what they did last week. But I mean, if you're looking at the Patriots, it's pretty big. You may have to beat just winning is a great thing because winning cures all. We talked about this team. And the more you lose, especially with the dissension, especially with the disconnect, and I'm going to use that term as a disconnect between the coaching staff, the players on down, yada, 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 as they said on Seinfeld. You got to win this game at Pittsburgh this week because you're looking at Baltimore and Green Bay and staring down the barrel of a potential 0-4 start. Because this Patriot team, it doesn't matter. It does not matter who they play. You cannot think this team is just going to gradually beat a team. Oh, yeah, they're playing Pittsburgh. Well, they own Pittsburgh. They don't this year. Those days are gone. You got to beat Pittsburgh this week, guys. And a Pittsburgh team that's a little dinged up with a couple positions, JC.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And you now brought a scenario where the Patriots have to play a perfect game for what their expectation is. Because when you look at it, you know, that like when I watched on Sunday, I wasn't upset. I wasn't angry at what I was seeing. It was expected that they play
yeah.
that way because that's the only thing they've shown us to this point. And until they show us that they can give us a consistent effort, they should not be favored against any other NFL team. And this thing's going to get ugly. And I asked the both of you, I'll start with Joe, you know, at what point does this start to turn into a laughingstock around the league to the point where Kraft says, I can't deal with this anymore. We're being laughed at and put into the bottom of the league with the Jets and the mm-hmm. Texans. I mean, how much can Kraft – I mean, this could get ugly very quickly, no?
It could get ugly a lot quickly. And I'm talking about by week four, it could get extremely ugly. And how long does Robert Kraft sit on the sidelines and go, yeah, I know Bill wants to get the most wins, but I don't see Robert Kraft having that much patience of – he may force the issue. Bill may have to walk away at the end of the year, or if Bob has lack of patience, and he'll I don't see him not doing something before the end of the year, especially if we become laughing stock. We all know that we had a lot of rebuilding to do, but we weren't even good at any of the phases down there. I mean, special teams, defense, offense, nothing really worked well. And it's like, you know, no offense, but I can't stand it when I see a guy named Bentley as one of our linebackers because, you know, running in quicksand isn't one of my favorite things to watch a football player do, but that's what it's about. That, oh, with that low in quality depth that he has to start. And just overall, we have so many holes to fill that where do you start? Where do you actually start? And then, oh, wait, the one guy that was pretty decent, Montgomery, now goes on the IR after week one. So I don't see it getting better anytime soon at all.
I think it's already started, guys. And if you look at Tom Curran's, and we know, JC, you guys know he's locked in. He's dialed in. He's a pulse. There's no question about it. When you look at Bourne Smith and Nelson Aguilar with Robert Kraft shelling out $90 million in contracts and they're taking up almost $30 million in cap space this season, and Jonnu Smith didn't make a catch until late in the third. Bourne didn't make one. Obviously, JC, you mentioned that 41-yarder in the final drive. The only two plays he was on the field. And when you hear Tom Curran say that Kraft definitely noticed Bourne was left in the mothballs all day, quote from his column, that's a problem. So you're going to find out we know now that there's a disconnect with Kraft and Belichick. This is going to get worse, guys. I don't even know if winning can cure this because you've got a stubborn head coach who's been on a long time, who wants to do it his way versus an owner who has shelled out money, and he has plenty of it, but he wants the product and his guys to represent what he spent on. That is a disconnect. This has all the makings of a slow-burning dumpster fire. It really does, JC. Winning will help it, but God forbid they go 1-3 the first four, or we're looking at a really ugly second half to this 2022 season.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, I mean, there's got to be some improvement. I mean, there's got to be more than just one touchdown. There's got to be some competitiveness there. There's got to be some hope because this should be the year that building forward, you have a rookie quarterback, a rookie contract, you spent the money, it's year two of the system. This should be the year that you say, hey, year one of Mac Jones, 10-7, made the playoffs. Sure, we got blown out, but okay, rookie quarterback, young team, move forward in year two. And remember, that's what they promised us when they didn't spend in free agency. that all these guys were going to get better in year two. What they failed to tell all the fans, and obviously maybe even Mr. Kraft, was that, yeah, we're going to blow up the systems on both offense and defense. We're going to bring in two guys that have no idea what they're doing, no coordinators, and we're just going to play it willy-nilly. And, oh, yeah, at the end of that, we're going to try to tell you that, yeah, that was an even game right there. Two plays, they played differently. Completely different game. Yeah, sure. Tell Pete Carroll. Aside from one play, the Super Bowl was theirs, right? Aside from a strip sack by Dante Hightower, the Super Bowl was the Atlanta Falcons. Sure, we can play that game all day.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Belichick never played that game, but now he's playing it. And that shows you everything you need to know about what he thinks about his team, that he has to lie to the media's face, because we all know we watched the game too. That game in no way was even. And the Miami Dolphins showed you that by going for it on fourth down late in the first half with, what, 20
yep.
seconds left?
Yep.
They weren't worried that, hey, we don't get this, who cares? They have Mac Jones and nothing else. They're not going to go back. You would have said that 3 years ago with Tom Brady? No. They're punting that ball right there. They're running the clock out right there.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to be scared about with this Patriots team on either side of the ball. And until that changes, and that comes with coaching and changing things, not running the same offensive scheme three times in the first nine plays, which is what they did in Miami. And I don't know about you guys, but I got no confidence in Belichick or Patricia coming up with any type of system. It's got to come from someplace else, because I just don't think they're invested enough. I don't think they care enough to change it, which is a sad thing concerning Bill Belichick, who is arguably the greatest coach in all time, and he's giving you this in 2022.
Joe, quick stop before we bring our guests in. Go ahead.
Part of it, JC, is the fact that he has no confidence in his team, so trying to build up a little confidence. He doesn't want to basically come out and say, well, we suck and we lost this game, but, you know, we have no chance of winning the game. So he says, well, there was two plays, so I don't know. It's definitely not his way of doing it, but that's how little confidence he has in his team.
And we haven't even talked about Matt Jones yet, because I believe he's listed as, what, day-to-day with back spasms. But having said that, guys, let's bring in my chiropractor. Dr. Roger Lincoln, a new old chiropractic in Pawtucket and Riverside, is kind enough to join us. Roger, how you doing today? You're on with John, and Joe. How you doing, buddy?
Sure. How about yourself, Donnie?
I'm doing all right, Roger. And I was telling my guys about what we talked about the other day. I want to get your thoughts. You saw the injury. We talked about it in the office. I'm going to let you pontificate on that, because you've forgotten more about what you're about to say than I will ever know. But I want to know what you saw, number one, and what do you think some of the pitfalls and some of the things that Matt Jones has to overcome to take care of his back moving forward?
Well, when you have back spasms, it is a result of a soft tissue injury. So in the spine, you have 24 vertebrae. And when one of them gets knocked out of its proper alignment from a hit, you're going to have a reaction. There's going to be damage to the soft tissue. And when you have damage to the soft tissue, the muscles will spasm up or tighten up to prevent that joint from moving. So you have ligaments, tendons, discs, and muscles. And their job is to keep that spine in alignment. And so when you have damage to the soft tissue, you're going to have a reaction. And spasms are the reaction. Now, in order for things to heal, typically you have to let it rest, and you got to give it time. So as a quarterback, you know, they're running for their lives most of the time, throwing, they're twisting, they're turning. So his ability to throw and run is going to be greatly hampered. And also, too, it's going to slow his ability to heal and recover. So that's what I'm seeing as a result of this. Now, he's day-to-day, so that's an indication that he's definitely still having a problem. So what are they going to be able to do to get him to be able to participate in the game if he's able to go.
So,
are they going to rest him? Well, are they going to? Is he not going to practice all week long? You know, that's the big question.
Yep. Go ahead, guys.
No, so Roger, you're saying he's basically going to be seen, should be seen a chiropractor at least a couple times a week, and possibly a massage therapist to look on the back to help him, and even so, another hit could still do him some damage.
That is true. So as far as I know, all NFL teams have a chiropractor on staff. And, you know, guys like Joe Montana and Jerry Rice, as well as Tom Brady, can they said that their longevity in football was a result of chiropractic care, regular chiropractic care. So I believe that he's under chiropractic care right now. But even with getting adjusted, you have to have time in order for healing to take place. And you have to rest that tissue in order for healing to take place. Because otherwise you're just taking one step forward and one step back, or one step forward and two step back.
Roger, so I ask you the question. Are the Patriots just rolling the dice and hoping that he survives as long as he can go? Or should they say, for your safety, we need to rest you now?
Well, from what I've seen of the Patriots and how they treat their players, they're more interested in the long term. If he's rested for a weekend or 2 weeks and he recovers, well, he's got 12, 13 more games that he can play. If he goes out there and makes the situation worse and he gets injured more, then he could be out for 5 to 6 weeks. So I think that it's in their best interest to hold him out and to, you know, make sure that he's ready for the rest of the season.
Roger, final question. Thanks for the time, buddy. I know you're busy doing stuff. So you're saying they should hold him out at least for this game. How many weeks do you think he has to rest it, so to speak, and I'm using air quotes, to what you say, to nurse it back and get it to the point where the inflammation goes down before he can actually see full-fledged action again? Give me one or two. I know 1 week you said he shouldn't be there this week, but is it going to take more than that just to make sure that this thing is nipped in the bud? Because it's a second year, man. You don't want to jeopardize this kid's future.
Well, it all depends on what soft tissue is damaged. So if it's muscular, well, muscles have a great blood supply. So you're looking at about 3 to 4 weeks before it's completely healed. Well, these guys don't have 3 to 4 weeks. So you're looking at 2 weeks before he's back out there playing and he's splinted so that he has a lot of support. Now, if it's ligaments and tendons, they don't have a good blood supply as well as the disc. So they take longer. They could take anywhere between a month on the short side to 60 to 90 days on the long side. So when somebody has a bad hamstring pull, that can put them out for anywhere between 6 to 8 weeks. So we don't know how bad or what tissue is damaged. So if it's muscles, you're looking at a week to 2 weeks with some good taping and some splinting and support. If it's ligaments and tendons, it's going to take at least 2 to 3 weeks before he's comfortable where he can run around and be his normal self out there with some anti-inflammatories and some medication to cover it up. So short term, we're looking at
Go ahead, finish your thoughts, sir.
Yeah, so short term, I think that he should probably miss the next game and hopefully prepare for the following week. Long term, it could be 3 to 4 weeks.
Roger, great insight. Thanks for the time, man. I appreciate you. Rod, that's Roger Lincoln, a New Hope Chiropractic in Pawtucket and Riverside. He's my chiropractor. Roger, hang in there, buddy.
All right, you too, Johnny.
You,
keep it up.
Thanks,
all righty, thanks. Yep, bye-bye.
Interesting stuff there from Roger. So he's saying, Patriot fans, that Mac Jones should sit out this week's game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. JC, a couple of things he hit on. When I was talking to him in the office a couple of days ago, start with you. You got to factor in not only the severity of the injury, how he can make it worse, and this is the second year, man, and this is your guy. This is your guy you're building around. This could be a big risk for this New England Patriot team. They've got a delicate situation here in Foxborough.
Yeah, it's very delicate, and as someone who had back surgery 15 years ago and still regularly has back spasms, you know, they tend to not go away. Even if you do rest and you do have surgery, you know, you still have to deal with them on a daily basis. And, you know, I'm sure that's going to factor into the decision and, you know, what the long-term effects of it are. And, you know, I'm sure Mac Jones wants to play. You know, I'm sure he wants to put what happened in Miami in the rear view and try to show that this team is better than what it looked like on Sunday. But you're right. Someone there has to, you know, look at the big long-term, you know, future of this kid, regardless of whether they'll be coaching there or not. So, you know, Bill, as he said, you know, again today at his press conference, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. So we'll see. If he's out there in practice again as full participation, that will tell you, you know, speak volumes as to his availability on Sunday.
Personal opinion here, we're not going to go to the playoffs this year. We had no illusions of grandeur to make the playoffs this year. At least I didn't. Sitting them for a couple of games is not going to hurt the team in the long run. It'll help them, and having Hoyer start will help us because let the kid heal, let him rest at least a couple of weeks. It's not going to do us any damage. Oh, I'm sorry. You diehards out there that think we're going to freaking win 10 wins. Yeah, that wasn't happening. So let him sit for a couple of weeks. You're better off. It's like I'd rather play on the safe side, but that's just me.
Well, and you know what, guys? This is a team that has a PR problem right now. No positive news for them. You know, if they choose the wrong way and the medical tells them to rest them and they play him, that's just another PR hit upon what they already have going. So, you know, I hope they just defer to the medical because that's the right thing to do. I'm not so sure. I mean, this team has a lot of things that they have to reverse. And so I don't put it past them to try to push guys further than they should be at this point. So it wouldn't shock me that they ignore some of the medicals here.
Yeah, me neither, JC, because when you look at it, and that's John Crow, Joe Ferran, and Johnny Sanchez here on the Going Old School show every Wednesday, pardon me, on blogtalkradio.com. Yeah, you mentioned that. And if you couple what was said by Roger Lincoln and what we're talking about, Joe, and he took a little esteem out of it, if you're a Patriot fan, it may behoove this team, I'm not going to say go out and lose, but maybe to not have a successful year so you can focus on a quarterback and maybe you turn it into a rebuild year. Who knows? But when you couple his injury with the dysfunction with the coaches and the players, and now the rift between Belichick and Kraft, about him wanting to play the guys, put Bourne on the field because he's Mac Jones' guy. Bill saying, no, I'm playing the guys I want. Patricia saying, no, I want Devontae Parker there because of this and that. I'm not going to talk to Matt. Matt can talk to the backup. And it's just the ingredients that are mixed here. If that happens with Mac, and JC, you're right, they ignore the medical. You mentioned the PR hit. But what does that do for the rift between Kraft and Belichick moving forward? I mean, looking forward, could this be, if this all comes to fruition the way it is and it keeps free-falling, you're looking at a chance that maybe this is Bill Belichick's last year coaching with the Patriots. We don't know, but this could be not a more developing story in what we've seen for the Patriots in, I don't know, some 22, 23 years, guys, JC?
Yeah, there's no question. And honestly, if I'm Bob Kraft, you know, I do what he did 20-odd years ago and have a little discussion with a defensive assistant, you know, and, you know, strike up a conversation with Mr. Brian Flores while you're in Pittsburgh, you know, there on the sidelines. And, you know, would you be interested in coming to Foxborough and being a head coach and, you know, kind of taking the reins? Kind of like, you know, you had a bug in the ear with Belichick back when Parcells was head coach. and struck up that conversation and made sure that that happened further on down the line. You know, that's what this franchise needs, whether it be Flores or somebody else, you know, that they get enamored with. This team, this organization needs a fresh look, a new set of eyes, a new way of doing things in 2022. I mean, this way of Belichick, and yeah, he is arguably the greatest head coach of all time. But his time has passed. It would be one thing if he had done – he seemingly had changed his ways last year, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he had been a little easier on the team. He adjusted with Mac Jones, and we thought, hey, seven-game win streak, yay, he's in line with the times. And it just seems that since Josh left, he said, that's it. I'm putting the moat around my castle. I'm not letting anybody else in. If you're not a friend of mine, not a relative, not going to do things my way, I'm not letting you in, and I don't care about the results.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, but that's not the Patriots that I grew up on.
Yeah, it's not the Patriots I grew up on. Even though we were bad in the 70s and 80s, at least we had a coach that was somewhat invested in, just we had owners that weren't invested at the time. Now we have an owner invested and a coach that just seems to be like playing out the string to get the amount of wins he needs to have the most in history and not worrying about, you know, he always claims, you said this earlier, JC, that he always claimed it was best for the team. What's best for the team? Well, what's best for the team is getting coaches in here that could actually help us. But he has no intention of it. He just wants his kid to be defensive coordinator. And we see how that's going. And it's like he's just not bringing people in anymore because, like you said, they don't want to listen to him more. It's his way or the highway. Well, you know what? It's okay if you're winning championships. You're not winning championships and you're losing a lot of games and losing the way you did Sunday. Times you need to change, and you need to change quick because you can't be the grumpy old a-hole walking around if somebody looks at you cross-eyed and looking at you weird and get bent out of shape out of them. Well, you know, those days are over. It's a new NFL out there. Ask Gruden. It's a new NFL. Not the old way anymore. The old school ways, it's not flying anymore.
One more question for you guys before we let you guys talk a little wrestling to close out the show. We talk about legacies, and you talk about Brady's, he's gone now, and you talk about Belichick's. And you know the fan base in this area, guys. They, as soon as you're out the door, they will kick you when you're down, or they will just you SOB, this and that. We saw it with Francona. This area has a way of treating the people – the coaches, the players who got them so much joy over decades and so forth, and amusing Francona, what he did here. Adam Vinatieri, we heard from Venom when he left. Those guys should never, ever pay for another meal in this area again, as long as they live. But they were kicked out, and fans turned venomous on them. Well, that happened with Belichick. I mean, we're seeing signs of it now. But if this is his last year, and it looks like he wants to do it his way, and I get that because he's done it his way all along, but now it seems like Bobby doesn't want him to do it. In other words, is his legacy as a Patriot coach, I'm going to say no to it because I think what he did was great, with Brady or without. I don't think his legacy is tarnished. JC, I'm going to start with you. Is his legacy tarnished if he goes out legacy style the way we think he is trending towards?
A short term it is, just because of who we are as a society in 2022, because half of these Patriots fans out there now can't even remember what happened. 2003 and 2004 and how that team was built. And, you know, they think Brady just walked on the field and threw 40 touchdowns and that's how we won in 03 and 04. And it couldn't be further from the truth. And will it be a short-term hit? Sure. In the long term, people will recognize him for the all-time greatest coach that he is.
Right.
The scary thing about this is they have more talent on this team than they're showing right now. You know, that's a decent offense that they got going on there. That offensive line is better than what they've shown in preseason and in game one of Miami. That wide receiver group, Myers is coming along. Parker's better than he showed in game one. You know, they have some weapons there. Mac Jones is better than he looked in game one because he just looked off, you know, whether it was the back spasms or what, you know, whether it was the offensive line and the constant pass rush. You know, there's more talent there than what they showed.
Mm-hmm.
With a devoted coaching staff that could buy in and that a system that players could buy into, you know, could they turn this around? Yes. The question, and I forget whether it was you, Joe, or you, Chips, that said it, is Belichick interested in doing that?
Right.
And I get that he wants the record, he wants Shula's record, but I don't know about you, but even we can see that if he continues to go down this route, he has no chance of breaking the record because he won't win games. I mean, the team that I saw in Miami has little chance of winning three games this year. And I'm not overreacting.
No, not at all.
That team cannot put that effort and that kind of scheme and strategy and win three games. I mean, it's just what it is. If you have the right plans going forward in the buy-in, we saw it last year. They went from 1-4. They should have beat Dallas. They should have beat Tampa Bay. Then ran off 7 in a row and then fell off the cliff again. So it's a very fragile thing with these Patriots. So could they turn it around with some things? I don't know. I'm looking for any signs of optimism here, folks.
Only this way, JC, it's like, only thing I look at is of optimism for me is, look, even when they had Brady, even when they were running the show, ruling the roost in the AFCs, they would go down to Miami and they'd look like the shittiest team ever. Even with Brady, even when they were a great team, they just, for some reason, it's a house of horrors down there for them. And I'm hoping that part of it was because it's the house of horrors and it's like at least show some greediness, some willingness to win, some willingness to get dirty in the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see going forward if they can. And that's all I'm looking for is to look, to show up, give it an effort. At least be in the game, really be in the game, not just by scoreboard-wise being the game, but actually being the game, being one score away. That's all I'm looking for. And let's hope that they can rebound and see what they can do in Pittsburgh and go from there and see if anybody – look, you can't, they better not give up after week one. The play is better, like, look themselves in the mirror and look – and sometimes do it – because and do it as Tom Jackson said, do it because you hate the coach.
Yep. Okay, quickly, guys, I'm going to get a prediction from you. I'm going to start first, and you guys take it right into wrestling. So, prediction, Sunday. I'm going to say, you know what? It's with all we talked about, I think they're going to find a way to beat the Steelers because I think they have to beat the Steelers. And I picked them to be 1-3 in the first four, and this is the game I thought they would win. Must win about as close as you can for a team in week two, other than the Arizona Cardinals we talked about Howard with, but I like the pass to win on Sunday. JC?
Yeah, that was my mentality last week. You know, he brought him down to South Florida, took him down 5 days early. It's a game that they must win against a rival. They hadn't beaten Tua in the three previous games. And you figured, okay, they're going to be a successful team this year. That's one they have to get because they're not going to have to score 30 to 40 points. And they laid a dud.
Yep.
right from that interception. They were great for the first 4 minutes, and then it was. So, no, I'm going the other way because I am now in you-must-show-me mode with the New England Patriots. Until they prove to me that they are going to put forth an effort and they're buying in, I can't pick them for any game. So, no, I'm going with Steelers, even without T.J. Watt, even possibly without Najee Harris,
yep.
Because, hey, I know it's Mitch Trubisky back there, but you wait, they may not have to score a touchdown. If you saw the defense and Cam Hayward against the Bengals, what they did, 5 turnovers against Joe Burrow and team, and they still found a way to win after blowing it later in the fourth quarter. They still found a way to win at the buzzer. So I'm going to go with the Steelers.
Quick and simple. 21-17 Pats, they somehow find a way to win, keep it close. I just think they've got a better offensive line than the Bengals do, and I think if they get it down there, I think they can run in and score. So I get 21-17.
I hope you both are right.
Yeah, although they are, yeah.
All right.
I mean, yeah, I hope so too. But, JC, you guys take it over. We've got about 7 minutes left in the show. Talk a little wrestling because we're getting our Joneses here, man.
MJF is back. What's your opinion?
Yeah.
And the suspensions going on.
Yeah, I mean, MJF is the hottest thing going on right now in AEW, and you're right, with the suspension, CM Punk, you know, he tore his tricep. He'll be out for the next 8 months, and I would be shocked to ever see him in an AEW ring ever again for what he pulled after winning the world title against Jon Moxley All Out and, you know, the press conference afterwards. I think CM Punk wanted to do it. I think he did it on purpose, and he was just looking for a way out. And so now, with the injury, they still got to pay him. So that's where I think he's out. But the only way that AEW comes out of this is let MJF run with the ball. And the problem with it is, you know, TV, Discovery and Warner Brothers, they're not too happy with what's going on with it. So they're on a short leash with what they can let MJF do. But if you saw it last week when he came out in Buffalo with the Josh Allen jersey, you know, playing the baby face and then just turned it on as the heel against Moxley, you know, I expect it to be him against Moxley in about 3 weeks after Moxley wins next week and gets that title again. Because, again, Moxley, he's not too happy either. The dude is supposed to be on a 6-week vacation right now until Punk pulled his stunt. So, I don't know. What do you think, Joe?
I think AEW is running into growing pains big time and running into creative writing pains because they're just not – they're spinning wheels a little bit. But what I wanted to really ask you about is because you're high in them and I don't know a lot about them is Karrion Kross. What does it look like WWE's plan is because he came out and basically beat the hell out of he's playing heel. And you need somebody to take over Reigns' spot. So it's like, I don't know what they plan on doing with Karrion Kross.
Yeah, it's a tricky question. And I'm right there with you, Joe, is, you know, with Roman Reigns being on that, you know, short-term date, you know, it's a long-term contract, but the dates are short. He's not going to be doing as much, you know. He used to rattle on Brock being there so much. Well, he's turned into Brock Lesnar because that's what the deal allows him to do. And he's not going to be at Extreme Rules. So then in a big-time match, you roll Kross into there against Drew McIntyre, and you just wonder how the crowd is going to take Kross, whether they're going to get behind him, they're going to boo him against Drew McIntyre. And, you know, I like Triple H, how he's just throwing it out there, seeing what the crowd will react to and not forcing the issue. You know, not telling you have to boo him and you have to cheer for him like they did with Reigns, you know, in the Vince era. So I think he'll start off as a heel, but wouldn't shock me if the crowd loves him.
You say he's not forcing it, but they're forcing freaking Edge down our throat with the freaking Finn Balor and Damian Priest and with, you know, now with and it looks like, I don't know. They're just. It seems like they're not going anywhere with that. So they're just, you know, Edge is like more than overstayed his welcome, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you'll see him be out. I mean, them referencing a broken leg at the end of Raw, him out for a while, and I think what you might see is Rey kind of going towards the dark side as the only way to bring Dom back. What do you think of that?
Yeah, he could. It's like Ray to bring Dom back, but Ray needs some backup, and it's like I'd like to see who it's going to be and somebody to help. Because, and then he's got Rhea Ripley, who I think is going to turn like China-like and face a man eventually in the wrestling ring. It looks like they're going that route.
Time will tell. What do you think, Chips?
Yeah, time will tell. Speaking of time, we're out of time, guys. It's been a great show. JC, I'm so glad you chimed in. It's been a long couple of weeks. So glad you're feeling better. Keep it up, man. Stay the course, fight the fight, and just get well, man. Get well soon, and appreciate you, JC, and Joe, as well, as always. But thanks very much for your time, guys, and enjoyed some of the Red Sox game and good old Prime Video tomorrow for the Thursday night match of Chargers and Chiefs. But, guys, take care. Be safe, you man.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
All right, that's John Crow, that's Joe Foran, yours truly, Johnny Sunships, here at the Going Old School Show. Special thanks to Howard Balzer. Catch him on GoPhoenix.com, NFL and Cardinals reporter there, Hall of Fame selector, and our weekly contributor every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. on the Going Old School podcast on Blog Talk Radio. And special thanks to also Dr. Roger Lincoln, who took a little steam out of Joe's balloon for the Patriots season for the rest of the way. But be that as it may, we'll be here every Wednesday night to talk sports. I will be live on Blog Talk Radio this Sunday to kind of go through the week in the NFL, preview the week, the weekend, the week's matchups at 10 a.m. here on the blogtalkradio.com network, if you will. So to each and every one of you, in the words of JC, take care of yourself. You heard it from the guy. Be careful out there. Stuff is still around. COVID does exist. Do the right thing. Be courteous and considerate to others as well as yourselves and your family. Take care, everyone. Be safe. Enjoy yourselves. Stay well.